my soul has found rest. Oh Lord, I give you thanks. One more time, thanks, thanks. Yes, thanks. Oh, we're a thankful people this morning. Lord, for all you have done, I am so blessed. Hallelujah. My soul has found rest. Oh, Lord, I give you thanks. Let's give him thanks this morning. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. Are you happy? Sure beats the alternative. We have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? Appreciate Brother Eli taking the request before the Lord. He was talking to the Lord. And we, as a body, we came dangerously close to talking to the Lord with him. We get a little starchy sometimes. We had to just, you know, I know as you start to press in a little bit, your thoughts come in your own mind, and your thoughts are, well, don't be noisy, don't this or that. We just need to talk things over with him. Amen. Make him welcome. I had this scripture on my heart this morning. I want to just read to you here real quick. It's a portion of it we're very, very familiar with, but I just felt to read the rest of it. It's Psalms 122. Maybe if Brother Fernando, if you could put that up. Psalm 122. First part of it, we all recognize, right? I was glad. Amen. Not mad, not sad, not upset. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let's read on. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. We know this is an Old Testament scripture, and so the New Testament, this is the natural Israel. We're the spiritual Israel. So thy gates, Jerusalem, would actually be the bride instead, the Gentile bride. Zion, Mount Zion. Our feet shall stand within thy gates. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. And that word compact means to have fellowship, to be united. A city that is, so it's special, right? It's not just any city, but it's a city that's united together. Compact. It also means fellowship. Whither the tribes go up, the people of the Lord, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Jerusalem, of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. Isn't that what we've come for? Thanks, thanks. I give you thanks. What are the odds, Brother John? You'd sing that song, we'd follow right up. You know I didn't just pull the scripture up. For there are set thrones of judgment. We don't like that part, do we? But judgment begins in the house of the Lord. If we can't judge right and wrong in the house of the Lord, we're lost. We're without hope. We know the nation, the world, they're rewriting what's right and what's wrong, but it begins in the house of the Lord, and we're thankful for it. It's not condemnation. It's a washing, and it's an illuminating. It brings us closer to him. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of the bride. The thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Those that love you will prosper. Peace be within thy walls. How many believes that peace should be within these walls? This is our place of comfort and safety. We know that this is being the tabernacle of the living God, but there ought to be an example of it wherever the people are gathered as well, right? peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. So David is speaking peace into the city. And he's doing it for his brethren and companions' sake. I'll say the same thing this morning. May the Lord's peace be with you. Hallelujah. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good, thy blessings, thy outpouring, all things that come from him. And we're here for whatever he has for us this morning. Amen. We've come to seek his good. We haven't come to seek separation or damnation or criticism. We've come to seek his good. Amen. And he does all things well. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Are you happy? Amen, amen, amen. So we're just so thankful this morning to have our brother Andrew Glover back with us once again. Return ministry this year. We say that in jest, but we're glad to have him back. You know, we haven't had too many visiting ministers for different reasons and this year, and we're expecting that to begin to change more and more as we come out of the other side of this pandemic. And Brother Andrew, it means a lot to us, and we're just so thankful for his labors of love for God's people, and his desire is to put his shoulder behind what God is doing and to be a help and encouragement, and brings his own fire with him. He doesn't expect you to manufacture it for him, but he brings it with him. He'll have church whether we do or not, but we're going to have church this morning. Yeah. Amen. So he's a gifted minister and a dear friend, and we're just going to invite him to come and take his liberty here this morning. And he brings greetings from his pastor, Brother Sean, back east. And we, of course, return our greetings back. It's almost as far away as you can get here in the continental U.S., but we trust that there'll be more reunions in the future for us as we see another season, as we're coming out the other side of this trial that the whole world is facing. Amen. But we're coming through the other side of this trial victorious. Amen. So there are several that are out that are either self-quarantining, some are not feeling well, and so out of the abundance of wisdom, they're staying out, and so we appreciate each one of you living for one another. But we ask the Lord's blessing upon them for those that are here, those that are listening in, and those that will listen in. Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. So with that, we're going to invite our brother to make his way out. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. How many need some this morning? Amen. I need you, Lord. Yes, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Hallelujah. And so I lift my hands and I bow my could say that this morning. I need you. I came because I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Yes, I need you, Lord, right now. Have your way this morning, Lord. Have your way. Yes, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Hallelujah. me for just a moment. I was going to share something else with you, and I forgot. So our brother, Lupe, Guadalupe Lopez, his wife, I think she had fallen previously and had broken her hip or injured her hip. Anyway, things got pretty serious, and she had to have surgery, and so we found out about the need that they had, and by God's grace, she went through surgery. I think it was on Thursday, and is recovering, and we're thankful for that. But they didn't have the means to pay for that, and so we told them that we would cover it, and which we did by God's grace, and Brother Eli worked that out for us. But I want to give you the opportunity this evening, if you would like to, give you the opportunity to have a part in that. It was about $6,000 for the surgery plus the $150 a day, I think, for being in the hospital. So we normally don't want to kind of announce these things, but on the other hand, we want to give you an opportunity to have a part. You know, it's part of the body. When one part of the body suffers, the rest of the body joins in. So, amen. One more time. I need you, Lord. Right now. Yes, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. So I lift my hands. So I lift my hands. And I bow my knees and worship that.
Time. Oh, yes, we need him this morning. Oh, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Oh, yes, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. My hands and I bow my knee to worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Amen. Amen. Well, he's an ever-present help this morning. In the time of trouble, he's with us in the time of distress and sorrow and crisis. Amen. The prophet of God said, all you got to do is call on him and he will answer. Amen. To know this morning, we've not gathered here as a hopeful people, but we've gathered here as a faithful people. Amen. Not hoping God is with us, but knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And he's walking right here among us this morning. Amen. We thank the Lord for his promises. I was just listening the other day to one of the first messages Brother Bram preached in Tucson in Expectation 1961. He stood there and he said, years ago out here, they did a lot of prospecting. He said, but not here this morning prospecting this evening. He said, we're here suspecting that God will fulfill all of his promises and pour out his blessings upon us. And I guess I just come to this meeting this weekend with that in my heart, that the Lord would just open the windows of heaven this morning and pour out his blessings upon his children and restore, revive, renew, refresh, heal, deliver, everything that God said he would do. Amen. We're suspecting God's going to do it for us today. Amen. Amen. We greet you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. We sure count it an honor and a privilege to be here with you all once again. We, of course, bring greetings from our pastors. It's already been mentioned, Brother Sean and the saints there. And I guess what Brother Doug said, two extremes, but amen, believe in the same message. Amen. And that's the main thing. And we sure appreciate Brother Doug, appreciate his friendship and his stand for this message. Amen. You appreciate your pastor this morning. Amen. A real man of God. Stand and hold the banner of this message high in front of the people for many years, and we sure appreciate him and the church here and the love for the Lord. And amen. We want to look in our Bibles this morning. If you have your Bibles with us, the book of Job, of the 32nd chapter, and we just got a few things here this morning on our heart to share with you from the Word of the Lord in the book of Job. You want to look there in the 32nd chapter, and sure thankful for the Lord's blessings this morning. Enjoyed that song service, amen. Just felt the presence of the Lord moving among us this morning, and we're thankful for that. Amen. The book of Job, the 32nd chapter. And just before we read the word, let's just bow our hearts together. And we know the word this morning is anointed. Let's ask the Lord to anoint our faith. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, as your believers gathered here today, Lord, on this beautiful Sunday morning, this resurrection day on the outside, the sun is shining. Lord, as the Lord's sun is shining on the outside, your prophet said it's a dual sun rising, that the S-O-N has risen in our hearts and the dead, dark denominationalism has passed away and the living Jesus Christ has been resurrected in the hearts of your people. And this morning, Lord, as we stand behind this sacred desk once more, Lord, we recognize our inabilities. We recognize our humanity. Lord, there's no way that we could bring resurrection power in this building. Lord, there's nothing humanly we could do. But Lord, we know if we can get ourselves out of the way, and Lord, we can humble ourselves at the foot of the cross this morning, that you will come in the building and you will take lives into your hands. Lord, you will take hearts down to the potter's wheel, as it were, and you will begin to mold and you'll begin to shape. And Lord, you'll begin to change visions. You'll begin to change hearts. And this morning, Lord, I pray as we join our faith together this morning, may every devil in hell be exited from this building. Lord, may you drive those spirits that are tormenting your children away this morning. Father, as you see the things that you've laid up on my heart this morning, I pray you would help me to get myself out of the way. But Lord, may you not only anoint me to speak, but may you anoint your children to pull. For Lord, we know that there could be things laying here in my notes this morning that they would have need of, as well as things that would not be there they would have need of. And I know that you can lead me down the avenue in the channels it would be beneficial to your children. So Father, as we report to duty this morning, we surrender our vessels to you. Have your way among us this morning, Father. Forgive us of our failures and our shortcomings, Lord. Draw us closer unto thyself. And when these meetings would be dismissed today, may we be able to say, did not our hearts burn within us, Lord? Not as Andrew Glover talked to us along the way, or a preacher, but as your spirit came. Give us another Emmaus road walk this morning. May your spirit come, and we'll be sure to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory, for it's in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we pray, and all the believers says amen and amen. The book of Job, the 32nd chapter, in the 8th verse here, Job is writing, and he says, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Amen. I love how this is worded. There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration. So this is not the inspiration of man, but it's coming from the spirit that is in man. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. He says, now, great men are not always wise, and neither do the aged understand judgment. So we realize that inspiration must come, and it must be in harmony with the supernatural. Also in the book of 1 John, the 5th chapter, the book of 1 John, the 5th chapter, I want to read there in the 18th verse of 1 John. Amen. We thank the Lord for the word of God this morning, don't we? Amen. 1 John 5 and verse 18, here he's writing. He says, now we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know, I love how John writes this. He's not writing this as a guesser. He's writing this with confidence. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Amen. We ask the Lord this morning to add the blessing to the reading of his word. As you may have your seats here this morning for a few moments from these verses of scripture, I have a thought on my heart I would like to speak to you on. If I would title this morning, I want to speak to you on a thought of inspiration that gives understanding. Inspiration that gives understanding. And for a few months, I've been studying and looking in an area. I was reading the book of Psalms one day, the 68th chapter, and there David says in the 19th verse, he says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." And I liked how David says that not once a month or once a week or at a camp meeting or at a convention, but actually daily the Lord is loading his church with benefits. And I've just been studying and preaching a little bit on the benefits of God, and I found that benefits are actually privileges. And when you look at the word privilege means a special right. It means an advantage. It means an immunity that has been granted or is available only to a particular person, amen, or group. It is an advantage. It is a right. It is a benefit. It is an entitlement. It is a birthright. It is due. It's freedom and it's liberty. Think about that. A privilege, amen, it's something that's only granted to a particular person. It's not granted to the entire world. It's not granted to entire class of people or entire civilization, maybe, amen, but it's privileges that have been granted to individuals alone. Now, amen, when you begin to look at this, you realize then that Brother Branham says this is a great hour. And notice this, Brother Branham was not depressed or sad to be living in this hour, but he says, "I'm so glad to be living here." He said, "You know, Moses would have loved to live in this time." He said, "All the apostles would have loved to have lived in this time." He said, "And here we are living in this time and living under our privileges." Think about that. Amen. Moses was looking forward to sitting, amen, in this age. Amen. The apostles was looking forward to this time. Amen. But they did not live long enough to live in this time. But here you are and here I am, amen, living in a time that is a desirable time. And the prophet said, "We're living in this time, but we're living under our privileges." He said, "How that God wants to bless his people." Now, amen, Brother Bram's going to give us two statistics. This is okay, amen, to read this to you. He said the church is living 1,000 miles, amen, below their privileges. Now, just to put that into context for a minute, that would be like here, amen, all the way to my house, amen. And that's a long ways, amen. The church is living that far underneath their privileges. Then he comes along and says, amen, the church is living 1,000,000 miles below their God given privileges. So, amen, rather than coming up, the church was going down, amen, but at the same time there was coming a separation, amen, between the church and the bride, amen, and the church was going to continue to go down, amen, but a bride was going to begin to fulfill, amen, the scripture, Revelation 4:1, and he said, "Come up higher." Now, amen, when you begin to look at this time, it's time to move up, amen. It's time to go higher. It's time to go deeper in the things that God has sent in this generation. Now, when you begin to look at all the benefits of God, there's no way possible, amen, in one service to cover all the benefits of God. I'll say it like this, there's no way in an entire year, amen, I think you would preach an entire year and just scratch the surface, amen, of all the benefits that God has bestowed upon his church. But this morning, for just a few moments, I want to look at one of the benefits that God has given us, amen, and that is the benefit of inspiration, amen, that gives us understanding or actually broadens our understanding. Now, in the message here, ye him. Brother Bram says, "Now when a man is inspired and he reads the inspired word," he said, "then the two inspirations together gives a result." He said, "No matter how well you study the word, it'll never do you no good until you're inspired yourself. It takes your inspiration." He said, "For the word is already inspired." He said, "So what we need today is an inspiration over us." Amen. God sweeping down with a new inspiration and breathing over us his power and his love in himself. My, isn't that powerful? Amen. That it might inspire us, amen, to quicken us and awaken us to his word. And then the word being brought into the spirit of inspiration, then you'll see miracles happen and things take place. Amen. Because the two just comes together. Amen. Then to think this morning that the word is already inspired. Amen. You're not adding any inspiration to the word. It is already inspired. Then we didn't didn't come here this morning, amen, to inspire the word, amen, but we came here for the word to inspire us. Now, amen, we're not looking for just a church. We're not looking for just a people, amen, but a prophet come along and said, what we need is an inspired people, amen, amen. And I think that's what we need today is we need inspired preachers, amen, amen. We need inspired singers. We need inspired musicians. We need inspired deacons. We need inspired housewives. We need inspired Sunday school teachers. We actually need inspired young people. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to hinder, amen, the inspiration of God from coming in the church. Amen. Because he knows when inspiration comes, amen, miracles comes and signs and wonders come. Amen. And deliverance comes. Amen. But what I say is even so come. Amen. Amen. Let the miracles of God come. Amen. Let the signs and wonders of God come. We are not a fearful people. We are a believing people. Amen. That still believes in the supernatural. My, when you begin to think about that, it begins to turn something in the depths of your soul. How many would say this morning, Lord, help me to be an inspired believer. Amen. Help me to be an inspired person. The prophet said, amen, that an inspired people through all ages, amen, has acted strange to the world. Amen. But they're always doing the will of God. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? An inspired people has always been strange to the world, but they've always been doing the will of God. Amen. That inspiration does not come, amen, to take you out of the will of God. Amen. But inspiration comes to place you, amen, not in the permissive will, amen, but in the perfect will of God. And to think this morning that this message, amen, has pulled us from all different walks of life. It has pulled us from all different areas. Amen. And has brought us together under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, when you begin to look at inspiration, amen, I just want to lay a foundation here for a second. Amen, amen, there's no two inspirations. Amen, the prophet said there's no two Holy Ghosts, right? He said there's one Holy Ghost. Then, amen, where does inspiration come from? It comes from the Holy Ghost. See, amen, then if there's no two Holy Ghosts, then there's no two inspirations. Amen, amen, then whatever inspiration is coming from the Holy Ghost is the same inspiration that's here today. Look at it this way. The prophet says the message has gone forth. He said, and I'm so glad that you received it. He said, and I pray that it'll do you good. Amen. For it did me good to speak it. He said, and I pray that the same inspiration that was given me to speak it to you, you received it in the same inspiration it was sent in. Amen. The same inspiration that was given to me to speak it. Amen. I pray you received it in that same inspiration. Amen. See, because if it spoke an inspiration and it's received an inspiration, amen, then there's going to be results, amen. And to think this morning, amen, that we are not gathered here, amen, under an inspiration that was different from any inspiration Brother Branham was under. Amen, let me break it down for you. Amen, the same inspiration that was on the Ohio River in 1933, amen, announcing a prophet's ministry is the same inspiration that is in this building this morning. Amen. The same inspiration that was there. Amen. When he was there as a boy and the angel of the Lord met him. Amen. And called him unto a Nazarite unto God. That same inspiration, amen, is in the church today. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, amen, if people will receive this message, amen, not under intellectualism and not under reasoning and not under man's ideas and man's opinions and man's traditions. Amen. But receive the message, amen, under inspiration. It'll do more than puff you up with knowledge. It'll do more than make you grow close. It'll bring a result. It'll bring a change. Yes, sir. If this message ever comes an inspiration into your heart, it'll change you forever. Amen. See, I pray the same inspiration. Let somebody say that. The same inspiration that was on me to speak it is the same inspiration you received it in. Amen. Now, when you look at the word inspiration, what does that word mean? It means the process of being mentally stimulated, amen, to do or feel something. Amen. I love this, especially to do something creative. especially to do something creative. Amen. See, the quality of being inspired, especially when evident in something, amen, it is a sudden, brilliant, creative, amen, or timely idea. Amen. It's the divine influence that's believed to have led to the writing of the Bible. Amen. Now, there's a connection then between inspiration and creation. There's a connection, amen, between inspiration and divine influence. Now, when you look at the word understanding, what does that mean? It means the ability to understand, amen, something, or to comprehend or to perceive the intended meaning of a word, a language, or a speaker. Amen. Then the prophet comes along in adoption and says, I believe it's time for the church to come to what I think, amen, is a complete understanding positionally of what we are in Christ Jesus. He said, now preaching usually catches a sinner and brings him under condemnation by the word. Amen. But teaching places a man positionally what he is, and we can never rightly be able to have faith until positionally we know what we are. Amen. Then we come along in the first seal, and he says, watch. He said it would be known in the last days, but it comes forth in a church symbol. Do you understand it, church? It comes forth in a symbol. He said, of a church that they know there is a seal. Amen. But just what it is yet they don't know. He said, because it's a white horse rider, but it's only to be revealed at the last day when the actual seal is broken, not to who? Amen. Not to Christ, but to the church. Amen. Now notice, that just makes me tremble, and I hope the church truly understands it. You people, I'm going to call you bride. Amen. Now we know that quote by heart. I'm no longer going to call you church. I'm going to call you bride. Amen. But there's a powerful sentence behind that that we overlook many times. He says that you'll understand it. Amen. Then he was not calling you bride, amen, just to give you a new title or just to give you, amen, a more puffed up idea about yourself. Amen. But he was calling you bride. Amen. Because when the secrets of a husband begins to be released, amen, there's only one person, amen, that's going to understand those secrets. And it is the wife. It is the bride. And to think this morning, while denomination is sitting this morning with the same Bible, singing the same songs, amen, reading from the same scriptures, but their eyes have been closed and their ears have been deafened, and they're seeing but they're not understanding, and they're hearing but they're not believing. But there is a bride on the earth this morning who is not gathered under religion. She is not gathered under tradition. She is not gathered under feelings. She is gathered under inspiration. Oh, to think this morning, amen, we're gathered here under inspiration. Somebody shout inspiration. Inspiration. Yes, sir. I'm going to call you bride, amen, so that you'll understand it. Amen. Now, when I think about the message of the hour, it astounds me, this quote. And I know I'm taking a bit of time here, if that's okay. Just want to lay some things in here. In the church in its condition, it's a powerful quote. He said, now, I want to speak to you on this morning, amen, on a parable of some way that even the most unchurched person in here would be able to understand. Amen. See, now we come to church to better ourselves. We come to make ourselves better people, better Christian, better citizen, better fathers, better mother, better neighbor. We come because Christ has told us if we would come and ask anything in his name, where we are assembled together as many as two or three, that he would be there in their midst. Amen. Then you're not the only people in church this morning. There are millions of people, amen, gathered in church buildings today. And Brother Daniel, they're not there to become worse people. They're not there to become more corrupt. Amen. They're actually gathering in there with the idea that they're going to become better. Amen. They're going to become better fathers and better mothers and better young people. Amen. And better citizens. But the problem is they have rejected, amen, what will cause them to be better. Amen. A denomination will not cause them to be better. A denominational system will not produce a better person. But the word will produce a better father. It'll produce a better husband. It'll produce a better wife. Amen. Then the prophet said, so what could be any more better to us today than to know that we have at the church, amen, to embedder ourselves, amen, to broaden our understanding. How many would say, that's what I'm here for? Let's see. I want a better understanding. Amen. And we can't have a better understanding unless it comes from the word. He says, and if we're going to have an understanding of God, it
must come out of God's word. For the word is what God gave us to feed our hungry souls. And the Holy Spirit was sent to take the word and to feed us by the word. Do you see it? The Holy Spirit is sent from God to take the word of God and to give it to us as we have need. He said, I'm so glad, amen, that God made a provision like that. And we are the sheep of his pasture. Now, if you are, how many is a sheep this morning? Amen. If you are a sheep, amen, then there is a threefold purpose of God over your life. Amen. The prophet said he wants to lead you, he wants to control you, and he wants to guide you. Think about that. As a sheep this morning, he wants to lead your life, he wants to guide your life, and he wants to control your life. He said, see, now we're going to speak on this. Amen. That my sheep hear my voice. Amen. And a stranger, they will not follow. I know them and they follow me. The prophet said, see, a voice, of course, is his word when he is speaking. In other words, they will not understand a theological voice, amen, that is teaching contrary to the word. Amen. The sheep don't understand that no more than an eagle, amen, could understand the clucking of a hen. They don't understand it because it was an eagle. And that's the same thing with a genuine, amen, born again child of God. They understand only the things that are of God. Amen. See, then many of you here this morning, amen, have been in this way for a long time. Amen. You've been following the message. Amen. You've been hearing the tapes. You've been hearing your pastor. Amen. And let me just say this. Amen. I know it's a little bit, I know it's rubbing some of the Church of Christ around us wrong a little bit. Amen. But let me just let you know, we ain't going to get no quieter, amen, the closer we get to the rapture. Well, is that okay? Amen. I know it's making a bunch of Baptists around us mad. Amen. But our young people ain't going to get no more formal. Amen. The closer we get to the rapture. Amen. Our preachers ain't going to get no more seminary and get no more churchy. Amen. Because this is the hour, amen, when we are receiving and understanding. Amen. Then our shout this morning is not coming from the music. Amen. Our worship is not coming from the music. Amen. Our dancing is not coming from the right keys on the organ. Amen. But our shout and our rejoicing and our praise is coming from an understanding, amen, that we were lost, but now we're found. We were bound, but now we're free. We were without hope and aliens from the commonwealth of God, but we have been redeemed by the hand of the Lord. Let me say this morning, if there's any noise and love, divine fellowship, it's not coming from emotion. It's coming from inspired understanding. Yes, sir. Amen. You take me to a Baptist church and let me hear a preacher preach a Baptist message and I'll sit there like a bump on a pickle. But you take me in a message church and let a preacher begin to preach the end time promises and I'll shout my shoe heels off and kick chairs out of the way if I got to. Amen. Not because I'm a fanatic, but because the Holy Ghost is on the inside. Amen. Working on the outside. And there's an understanding possessing this vessel. Now, I know people sometimes hear the word, and while the preacher's preaching, they stand up and say amen, and they clap their hands, and they may even get happy and dance while the preacher's preaching, and that bothers some folks. But let me tell you what the prophet said. He said, you've heard your pastor preach many a time on the word until the spirit got among the people, and they just screamed out. Amen. Then what you've been criticizing is the spirit getting among the people and causing them to scream out. Amen. Let me say this. There is no ability Doug Baker has to make you scream. There is no ability Andrew Glover has to cause you to stand up and to begin to praise God. Amen. But I'm talking about the supreme ability. It's the supreme ability of Jesus Christ when it drops into the meeting by the preaching of the word. Then something you're hearing is connecting with something inside of you, and an inspiration is taking over, and you're hearing a preacher say he's a healer, and you're hearing him tell about Moses, and you're hearing him tell about the blind woman or the blind man and the woman with the issue. But you're hearing all these inspired things. Amen. And after a while, amen, you're hearing the inspired word. And then that inspiration leaves the word and it leaves the preacher and it comes over on you. And you've been sitting there, amen, in all service, and you had a need in your body. But all of a sudden, something strikes you and you stand up and you say, if he did it for them, he can do it for me. If he did it before, he can do it again. If he saved one time, he can save again. If he delivered one time, he can deliver again. If he give the Holy Ghost one time, he can give the Holy Ghost again. See what it is? It's not a man. It's the inspiration of the Almighty God. Amen. Dropping in the building with an understanding. Are you hearing me this morning? Amen. I already feel it in this building this morning. Amen. I feel it circling right now. I feel inspiration coming in here. I'm not a crazy man. I know the Spirit of God when I see the Spirit of God. I know the Spirit of God when I feel the Spirit of God. And that same Spirit, amen, that thundered out of eternity and said, "Let there be," is thundering here this morning and saying, "Every devil in hell, take your hands off of God's property. You have no rights. You have no authority." There's an inspiration here. We're not just church members. We are inspired. Inspired people. We're strange to the world, but we're in the will of God. Amen. We're strange to denomination, but we're in the perfect will of God. Yes, sir. He said they could not hold their peace any longer. He said, "Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." He said, "The Spirit of God takes the word of God to the congregation and feeds them. And they grow spiritually on that word." See, then let me give you a little trail. Brother and preacher wanted to preach the trail of the serpent, okay? Let me give you the trail of the Spirit. Is that okay for a second? Amen. A Holy Ghost-filled minister, amen, begins to receive a thought from God. And he begins to set himself aside. And he begins to comb through that thought, amen, through the Scriptures and through the message. And that sermon begins to build. And inspiration begins to come. Amen. And he sets himself aside. And he gets away from everything. And inspiration begins to build in him. And begins to build in him. And begins to build in him. Till he comes to the pulpit. And he begins to preach that word. Amen. And listen. Amen. He's inspired. The word's inspired. Amen. But where is the battle? Brother Doug, the battle getting to the pulpit's only half of the battle. Amen. The real battle's when you get in the pulpit. Amen. Then the devil tries to take the words you're preaching and confuse it in the minds of the people. And say, "Well, he's preaching at me. And he looked at me." Well, who else are we supposed to look at? Amen. Amen. Well, he kind of looked a little funny at me. Or maybe he's pointing that at me. Amen. See, that's the devil battling you. Amen. Because he knows, amen, if you come under the inspiration of what you're hearing, he has lost his hold. If you come under the inspiration of what you're believing, amen, the devil is limited, and you have just unlocked the powers of God. Hey, the prophet said, "See," then he feeds them, and they grow spiritually on that word. Amen. And if you stand up and shout, it ain't going to bother me, because that's a growing pain. Amen. I tell you what. Amen. I was preaching the other day in a meeting, and the guy was standing up the whole time, amen, shouting and hollering and pulling, amen, saying amen, amen. Man, and there's people around him looking at him. And I tell you what, Brother John, I about come to the point of stopping and saying, instead of looking at him, won't you join him? Amen. Amen. Leave him alone. He's just growing. And you know what's happening here in these services? There's some growth taking place. There's some believers that are not just saying, "Brother Branham, I see you. And Brother Doug, I see you. And Mama, I see you." But there are some mature, adopted, inspired sons and daughters of God, Brother Doug, that are looking in the mirror and they're saying, "Well, Daddy, that's me. I'm an overcomer. I'm a deliverer. I'm a conqueror. I'm a seed of God. I'm a child of God. I got authority from God. Ain't no devil going to stop me. I'm going in a rapture. I'm going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I've heard about the future home, but I'm going to experience the future home." It's an inspiration. Amen. See, then where our rejoicing is coming from, it's because we're not looking. We're rejoicing because we found. Are you hearing me? The religious world is looking for inspiration. They're looking for revelation. They're looking for understanding. They're looking for something to cause people to come to church. They're looking for something to cause people to believe. Amen. But a prophet come along and says it like this. He says, "And what better thing can we know than to know we have it?" See, then this morning, denominations is looking for the revelation of the Godhead. Do you realize right here this morning, they're still looking for the revelation of the Godhead? But a prophet says, "See how it's revealed?" They scratch their head, they pull their hair, trying to find out what it is. He said, "There's no Father, Son, Holy Ghost." Amen. Three persons. Amen. Three people. He says, "Don't pull your hair and scratch your head. Just look up." Amen. See, then revelation comes from above. As that right, he will reveal it. It's no Father, Son, Holy Ghost. It's three offices that one God lived in. See, then where does inspiration come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. And the prophet said, you've got to have the Holy Spirit to lead you, brother. Amen. And that inspiration comes by the Holy Ghost, led of the Spirit of God. And he says, sons and daughters of God are led by the Spirit. They love the Spirit. See, then this morning, amen, if you're ever going to start rejoicing, you got to stop looking. If you're ever going to start enjoying this message, you got to stop looking. If you're ever going to start enjoying the blessings of God, you got to stop looking. If you ever, oh God, amen, is this okay? If you're ever going to rejoice, you got to stop looking. Well, Brother Andrew, I want scripture. Well, go with me to Luke 15, verse 6. When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Amen. Revelation 15, 9. And when she had found, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Luke 15, verse 20. And he arose, speaking of the prodigal son, and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight am I no worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, amen, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this son was dead, amen, but he's alive again. He was lost and he is found, and they began to be merry. Amen. See, then what produced a rejoicing when they found what was missing? And for six ages they've been looking for the missing piece of the rapture revelation. They've been probing, Brother Doug. They've been pursuing. They've been poping, or they've been poping, taking popes. Amen. Are you with me this morning? Amen. Popes are actually sitting this morning. Amen. Now, let me say it like this. Amen. Trying to come up with something to move the Catholic Church. Amen. Because they run out of stuff. Amen. Because them popes are just that. They're popes. Amen. They're impersonators. Amen. The Catholic Church, amen, has ran out of inspiration. Yeah. Are you with me this morning? The denominations has run out of revelation. They've run out of inspiration. Amen. But here is a humble group of people in the house of God this morning. And we're not sitting here sad. Amen. We're not downcast. We're not tore all to pieces. We are rejoicing. Amen. Because we have found what was missing. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not talking about something we're looking for. We're not here prospecting this morning. We have found the gold. We have found the deity. We have found the star. We have found the anointing. We have found the channel that can move things in the house of God. Yes, sir. We are not sad. We are not downcast. I feel like preaching for a second. Amen. Kick that old devil out of this building this morning. Amen. It's time to rejoice. Tucson, it's time to rejoice. Come on, love divine fellowship. It's time to rejoice. You've had devils against you. You've had critics. You've had everything against you. Amen. But go ahead and rejoice. Amen. Because while they're criticizing, they're still looking. Amen. But there's a pastor here that said, we're no longer looking for inspiration. We're no longer looking for anointing. It's in the message of the hour. And we're going to raise up a church that's going to preach the message in its pure, virgin, and unadulterated faith. Anybody got a right to rejoice this morning? You got a right to rejoice. Anybody got a right to kill the fatted calf? You got a right to kill the fatted calf. Anybody got a right to dance? You got a right to dance this morning. We're not looking for the revelation. We've got the revelation. We're not looking for anointing. We've got it this morning. Come, come, rejoice in what has been delivered. Rejoice in what has been found. Yes, sir. In other words, the message of the hour has ended the search. It has suspended the search for inspiration and revelation. Amen, amen. I may get in a little trouble, Brother Doug, but you know what I'm talking about. Amen, amen. The guy sent some books the other day, whole list of books. He said, go through these books. I found out Brother Bram read these books. His own little group chat. A bunch of brothers read. Brother Bram read these books, so go through these books. And another brother come on there, and he said, well, the good thing is William Branham read it, so I don't have to. He said, because William Branham went through it and got everything out that was good enough to get out. Amen. So I'm not going to waste my... Come on, church. Amen. I know we got a lot of guys around us still searching Oral Roberts, and they're still digging through John G. Lake and Charles Larkin. Amen. But let me go ahead and save you some time. Amen. A vindicated prophet has done been prospecting, amen, through the Reformation age, through every age before us. This was not something new. This was the tying together of all the loose ends and producing an inspiration. Come on, church, let's preach a minute. Amen. I know we got guys that sit around and all they do is read history, amen, and read something 50 years ago and then try to bring it over the message, and there's no inspiration on that. Amen. You may not like that, but it's a truth anyhow. Amen. There's no inspiration. Amen. The only place inspiration is where God has placed his name, and God has placed his name in this message. Then there's no inspiration outside of this message. Hell, I'm not the preacher for a second. Amen. There's no inspiration outside this message. Then if there's anything inspired outside of this message, they stole the inspiration from us. What can I preach, Brother Eli? Amen. They stole the inspiration from us. Well, Brother Andrew, you got scripture for that? Oh, yes, we do. Amen. In the Bible days. Amen. The Bible says water come out of the rock, right? Flowed out of the rock. And it says, and the Israelites drank. Amen. 2 million of them drank from the inspired water out of the rock. Amen. But that same water, brother, it flowed down into the valleys and it flowed down into the cities, and their enemies drank the same water. Amen. But it didn't come from them. It came from God. And the only reason they had water was because inspiration was on a covenant people. I'm trying to behave myself this morning. Amen. But the only reason why there's inspiration in the land today is because there's again another covenant people in the land who are walking under the footsteps of the word of the Lord. Now, I said it before, I'm going to say it again. The message of the hour has ended the search for inspiration and revelation. See, the prophet said, what could be any better to us today than to know that we have at the church, amen, to embedder ourselves and to broaden our understanding, invisible union. Amen. I ran into people, Brother Doug, and here's what they say. The revelation of the rapture is coming. Amen. We're looking for the revelation. We're looking for God to send Brother Branham back. Amen. I know where I'm at this morning. I know what state I'm in. I'm going to preach anyhow. Amen. We're looking for Brother Branham to come back, and we're looking for him to bring the rapture revelation. Amen. But say what he said on tape. He says in invisible union, remember what time it is, sir. How many ever heard it? Say amen. Was it exactly right? Amen. He says, then we've got the revelation in the last days for the message of the Lord God. Amen. To gather his bride together. Brother, there was no question mark. There was no comma. There was no possibility. Amen. That a prophet was going to return. He announced before he left, what you're looking for is what you've got. Yes, sir. No other age has it been promised, but it's been promised in this age in Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10, amen, Joel 2, 28, amen. See, so Malachi 4, God sends a prophet to restore and turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. Luke 17, 30, the Son of Man should be revealed. This day is this scripture fulfilled. John 14, 12, amen, greater works shall ye do. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. Brother, God promised Joel 2:28, amen, to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Amen. Which would be the dynamics to the mechanics. Amen. To fulfill the scriptural promises of the age you're living in. And may I say this morning, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. Come on, church. I'm not talking about something that's uninspired. I'm preaching. Amen. The very inspiration of God in the church of the living God this morning. What are you talking about? Amen. How many ever heard that tape? How many's heard it? This day, this scripture is fulfilled. You've heard that tape? Amen. Let me let you in on a little secret, okay? Brother Ben preached that one time here in Arizona, right? Amen. In January, and it was as dead as a hammer in there. Go listen to the tape. Nobody was saying amen. Hardly nobody was pulling. Amen. But he takes that same sermon and he goes back to Jeffersonville. And he stands there and he begins to preach, this day this scripture is fulfilled. Amen. And he says, now look, the scripture has a compound meaning, right? He said Jesus returned to Nazareth, amen, where he come out of, and he picked up the scroll and read it. Amen. And he sat down and said, this day this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And a prophet said, see, here I am in Jeffersonville this morning. Okay. That sermon couldn't be preached like it was in Jeffersonville in Arizona, because he didn't come from Arizona, but he returned to where he came from, and he picked up the scroll and he began to read Malachi 4. He began to read Luke 17:30. He began to read all these scriptures and say, this day this scripture is fulfilled. Are you hearing me? And I'll say it like this, the same inspiration that was on the Ojai River, amen, years before, was the same inspiration that returned in Branham Tabernacle in February of 1965 when he preached, this day this scripture fulfilled. And the testimony is, I'm trying to behave, but I gotta preach. The testimony is, he walked out of the building and for hours he sat screaming, this day this scripture, this day this scripture, this day this scripture, this day, for hours. You know why? Because he broke into inspiration. Are you hearing me? Hey, can I preach to you for a second? The same inspiration that was there, amen, when John wrote it, and when Luke wrote it, and when Joel wrote it, and Malachi wrote it, was the same inspiration in the pillar of fire hanging over the Ojai River, was the same inspiration that came down. And when he preached it, may I go ahead and say it? That's the same inspiration that is whirling through this building this morning. It's whirling through here. It's looking for somebody that'll pick it up. It's looking for somebody that'll read, I am the Lord that healeth all thy diseases. And somebody shout out, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. It's looking for somebody to read, you're more than a conqueror. And shout out, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. It's looking for somebody to read, if God be for us, then who can be against us? And scream out, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Come on, church. You're looking for the message. You are the message. You're looking for the inspiration. You are the inspiration. Faith. Are you hearing me this morning? Faith. Faith has been returned. Faith has been restored. The inspiration of God has come back. We're not here probing this morning. Brother Doug, I now know why the Lord laid on my heart the other day to begin the first time Brother Brand preached in Tucson. And I know why I heard that quote. Amen. We're not here prospecting. We're here suspecting. And that's been turning. That's been turning inside of me all week, Brother Doug. Amen. And you know why? Because I just called it from the Lord. He's here this morning. Amen. To fulfill. Amen's promises. Come on, church. Some of you have come out of ministries that were nothing but preaching abusers. Well, I'm going to preach a minute. You've come out of legalism and all kinds of nonsense. You've sat under ministries that all they did was prospect, and they hunted and they probed, and they never put nothing on the table to feed you. Amen. But God, who is rich in mercy, has seen fit, amen, to deliver you from the hands of sinful scorners into the hands of a Holy Ghost filled pastor in an atmosphere where the Holy Ghost has the right of way, where sons and daughters of God are being birthed by the breath of God. What are you saying? I'm saying it's time to see these promises not just fulfilled in Doug Baker, not just fulfilled in Eli Ortiz, fulfilled in the youngest, weakest church member. There's an inspiration. It's flowing in the message. It's in this building this morning. It's giving you an understanding. Come on, somebody. Go ahead and praise God. Go ahead and praise him this morning. Anybody got a right to rejoice? You got a right to rejoice. Had it not been for the Lord who was on your side, you wouldn't be sitting here this morning. Amen. But God sent inspiration to inspire you, to quicken you. When the devil said he would destroy families, God said, no, you won't. When the devil said to destroy marriages, God said, no, you won't. I'll let him hear about a crazy church over in town that's been criticized for years for being holy rollers. Well, that went over like a lead balloon, but it's the truth anyhow. I'll let him hear about a church over in town that's been made fun of for their music. I'll let him hear about a church over there. I'll let him hear about a pastor that's a little fanatical. Amen. And I'll let him go sit there one time. And I'll let him see that there's more to this message than a bunch of do's and don'ts. I'll let him see that God didn't place man over his people. He placed his spirit over his people. Come on, Eagles. You've been set free from the Cincinnati Zoo. Where can I preach a minute? You was in the Cincinnati Zoo. You know how you got in there? Amen. A lot of people don't want to read that quote, but I'm going to read it to you. You know what a prophet said? He said that eagle got put in there by the wise achievement of some man. Come on, by the wise achievement of some man, that eagle got trapped in a cage that he wasn't born to be in. He said, but watch. He said, there was another man that had the key. In other words, there was a man here who can turn on the light. You've been sitting in darkness for years under the wise achievement of some man that said he had a gift of prophecy or he had a gift of interpretation. And men around, can I have some liberty? Men around this message have bound people. They have bound people under their gifts, and they bound people under their feelings and their sensations. Amen. But I feel an anointing upon me this morning to curse that devil in the name of Jesus Christ. That devil has no authority over the bride of Jesus Christ. This bride don't belong to no man, don't belong to no preacher, don't belong to no church. This bride belongs to Jesus Christ. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. Then you know what's happened. Come on. Amen. I know what happens. Amen. I know what happens in situations. Amen. People get free, and then there's no spirit of fear that follows them. Amen. Amen. They get free from some old false doctrine, or they get free from some old false idea, and then no spirit follows them, and they really get in the presence of God, and they really start enjoying the Holy Ghost, and the baby gets a croup, and the wife gets sick, and that old devil of fear comes around and says, it's because you left such and such. Is it okay to preach? It's because you're not following so-and-so no more. It's because you're out of the will of God. Amen. No, let me tell you what it is. It's because you're an inspired person. And that inspiration has led you to the will of God. Come on, church. If that man was big enough to hold... Can I have the liberty? It's just coming. If that false idea was big enough to control you and keep you, do you really think it's big enough to destroy you? It couldn't hold you back. It couldn't hold your family back. It couldn't hold your children back. It couldn't hold your journey back. If it couldn't stop you, it will not destroy you. You're the inspired believers of Jesus Christ. See, that's why Jude comes along and says, exhort that you should contend, earnestly contend, for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Now, the prophet said it had to come from somewhere. If it was delivered, Brother Doug, it had to come from somewhere. He said, it's that right? See, and who delivered it? Delivered the faith. The prophet said, a little while in the world see me no more, yet ye shall see me, for I will be with you even to the end of the world, even in you to the end of the world. And the things that I do shall you do also. Who is that I? It's Christ. Then he reads another scripture, even more than this, for I go to my Father. Who is that I? It's Christ. Do you get it? What was it? The faith that he represented. Glory to God. The faith he represented is the faith he delivered to the church to take it to the end of the world. See, then notice how a prophet answered that question. Where did it come from? And he reads scriptures concerning Christ. Amen. Showing you where the faith that's in your heart has come from. It's come from Christ. Amen. See, then the faith has been delivered to you to believe and receive what else has been delivered to you. See, Malachi 4 must first restore, is this okay? Must first restore the faith to believe for what's coming. The first pool built faith for the second pool, and the second pool built faith for the third pool. Oh God. See, then to believe and receive this morning, church, that we have the open book. Oh God. The open book is not coming. We've got it here this morning. Rapture and faith is not coming. It's here this morning. Joy is not coming. It is here this morning. Victory is not coming. It is here this morning. Deliverance is not coming. It's here. Can I go ahead and let you in on a little secret? Resurrection power is not coming. It's here. It's in the body. It's in the bride this morning. Brother JJ, there is a many-membered body on the earth this morning that is manifesting. Now, Brother Andrew, you got to be careful here. Well, the prophet said the seven seals has the book sealed. The book is absolutely sealed. Do you see it? The book is absolutely a sealed book until the seven seal book is broken. It's sealed until. I'm going to preach on that in a few days. Sealed until. Sealed until it's broken. Sealed until Christ begins to take possession in a body. Can I make this plain to you? Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Christ comes down, reveals himself. Second, he takes preeminence by the revelation of himself in a bride's body. Third, to lead a bride back to a Garden of Eden condition again, right? That's it. By the revelation of himself. I know I'm going slow this morning, but I'm going slow for a purpose. By the revelation of himself, he claims your body. That when the revelation comes in its fullness, and you look at it, that he will be inside of you to bear witness with what you're looking at, that it's the truth. See, now that's different. He says from the seven thunders, this is seven seals on the book. He said, so we are presuming. But the genuine revelation of God will be made perfect in that sounding and vindicated truth. This seven seal book, remember, is closed in Revelation chapter 5. Oh God. But in Revelation 10, it's open. Revelation 5, it's closed. Revelation 10, it's open. The angel of Malachi 4 is the angel of Revelation 3:14. Is the angel of Revelation 10:7. Somebody say closed in Revelation 5. In Revelation 5. Open. In Revelation 10. See, then how did we get it? Did it come through a seminary? Did it come through a learning? The prophet said, but now it's going to be brought to us in revelations from the hand of God by vindication. Then God has delivered to you the open book. Notice it. Now, I just want to take a minute and lay this in here, because it amazes me. People say, Brother Doug, we don't need to preach the seven seals. And they say, Brother Bram made mistakes in the seven seals. And they also go the extent of saying the seven seals not open. I mean, I may be 25 years old and young boy, but let me tell you something. As a young man, I've done run into a lot of these ideas already. I don't say that to brag. I just say it because it's true. I mean, I ran into guys, Brother Bram didn't mean it. Brother Bram said all that stuff. Amen. Amen. But can I show you something? There is an inspiration behind the open of the word. Amen. I'm going to give you some quotes here this morning to back the devil in the corner if he ever tells you that preaching the message is not inspired. That preaching the open of the word is not inspired. But let me say this in Perseverance, 1963. If you ever believed I ever said anything in a sermon inspired, you take the tapes of them seven seals. And if you ever heard anything that's really, as I can say, it's thus saith the Lord, get those. Souls in prison, remember the seven seals was finished when those seven revealed truths. And if I ever preached anything in my life was inspired, it was that. Amen. and it ought to be true to you, stand here and tell you it's going to happen and go right there, and even science and everything else, the scientific research and everything, mystery to the people, prove that it happened right there and come right back here and unfold and make every word exactly right. Okay, 1963, 1124, what shall I do with this Jesus called Christ? And who would dare to say that wasn't the inspired word of God when he foretold it here and sent out yonder to Arizona and brought it right back, even with science and everything else, and proved it so? The book is already opened. The book is already opened. That's right. Just waiting for the seventh seal to be identified of the coming of Christ. He did not say waiting for the seventh seal to be opened. He said waiting for the seventh seal to be identified. Can I go on? Another place, if I ever preached anything was inspired in my life, it was those seven seals. I know we're at the end time. Feast of the Trumpets. Immediately after that, the angels of the Lord appeared and told about the seven seals. I was to return back here to Jeffersonville and preach the seven seals. And if I ever said anything, I'm going somewhere, stay with me, that was inspired, it was in that. There where the angel Lord met us, and the Bible became a new Bible. There it opened up and revealed all the things the reformers had left out. It was the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. Altogether new to us, but exactly perfectly with the scripture. That was the word which has always been. I was so inspired and directed. See, then the opening of the word brought an inspiration. It brought a direction. God's power to transform another one. But since the opening of those seven seals, them angels just beyond the mountain yonder, this Bible has become a new book. It's the things that's been hid is being revealed as God promised in Revelation 10 he would do it. And we are the privileged people. We are the benefited people. We are the advantaged people. We are the chosen, elected people. Amen. See, of the earth. That we might see and understand these things. It's not some mythical fleshly mind of a person trying to make it up. It's the Word of God made manifest, proven right before our very eyes. See, then let me say it like this. The prophet of God comes along in oneness and says, I never preached anything under inspiration that I had to take back. I'm laying the word in there for a purpose. I never preached anything in my life under inspiration I had to take back, because I don't depend upon my own understanding. See, and if my understanding is contrary to God's word, then my understanding is wrong. It's got to be God's word. Now, do you see what happened? He had just preached something about Mary receiving the seed of Christ. And he said, the brothers met him and said, you made a mistake there. You missed it. He said, now watch. Now here it is. The Holy Spirit moved over. Oh God, let the Holy Spirit move over this church this morning. The Holy Spirit moved over, and I believe the same one that could overshadow Mary, that could create, and can also put a word in your mouth. I depend on him daily. Oh God, he can't say something contrary to his word. Then if you say you're anointed and preach against the truth of God, it's not the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Now, Brother Andrew, where are you going? To glory, where are you going? In a rapture, where are you going? To victory, where are you going? Now, Brother Andrew, here's what we need to do. We just need to preach Jesus. We just need to preach Christ. We don't need to preach all this open the word and third pull and mysteries. We need to be real simple. We just need to be Bible believers, Brother Andrew. There's no inspiration there. Brother, I had a guy look at me one time and say that there's no inspiration in preaching the open of the word. But then said I heard a prophet say. See, that's the problem with me, is a lot of people tell me things, but the problem is I heard Brother Branham before I heard them. Is that okay? I heard Brother Branham before I heard them, so I have a problem believing them. Because I've heard a vindicated voice who said down there in the interior in Jamaica, them seven seals got in there in the inland, and they was listening to those tapes. He says, and while I was speaking on those tapes, they noticed coming in the room came the same pillar of fire that moved over where the tape recorder was, and they got a camera and took a picture of it, and it's just the same one as you see in the picture. No. Testing, 1, 2. Let me read that again. The same pillar of fire that was in Sam Houston Coliseum came over and met William Branham for 7 days straight in a room and revealed the seven revealed truths, which was inspiration on the Bible, on the Word, and he walked to a pulpit. Help me, God. 7 nights in a row and preached the opening of the Word under inspiration. Then them tapes that was recorded made their way to Jamaica, and there was believers hearing them same tapes, and the same pillar of fire that was in Jeffersonville was in Jamaica, and it wasn't hanging over Dr. Dobson's books. It wasn't hanging over Dr. Larkin's history lessons. It was hanging over the message of the hour. Are you all hearing me this morning? I'm laying some solid word in here for a purpose, because that was the same pillar of fire. You want to preach a minute with me? The same pillar of fire that was with Moses, was with Paul, was with William Branham, was the same pillar of fire that appeared in his house in Kentucky when he was born, is the same pillar of fire that met him in the tree, is the same pillar of fire. Right. That met him on the Ohio River was the same pillar of fire that led him up here to Sabino Canyon, was the same pillar of fire that led him back to the Branham Tabernacle, was the same pillar of fire, God, that led him through the message, and that same pillar of fire. Come on, church, open up with me right here. I'm about to close. That's the same pillar of fire that has led you to believe what he said. We're not believing this because of our mom and our daddy. Oh, God. Extra devil, hear all about it this morning. We're believing this because we received the message under the same inspiration it was delivered in. Glory to God. Don't you feel it this morning, brother? Don't you feel that inspiration? Are you hearing me, church? Come on. Revelation 5, what? The book was closed. They weren't rejoicing. You know why? Because John was looking. Come on. Feel like dancing right there if I got to dance by myself. They were looking. They were looking for somebody who was worthy to take the book. They were looking for somebody. They looked in the heavens. There was nobody there. They looked on the earth. There was nobody there. They looked all over. There was nobody that was found worthy to take the book. So what, brother? There was no rejoicing when the book was closed. There was no rejoicing when they were looking for somebody to come and take the book and to loose the seals thereof. But when they found somebody, when they went from looking to finding, they went from looking to rejoicing. Oh, church, and the Bible says John began to rejoice. You say, preacher, the word's come open. It's the word and the word only. I say the word has come open to cause the church to rejoice. Then what are you saying? I'm saying God's looking for somebody.
who will come under the inspiration of the written word. And you will receive the same result. Do you realize what that word there in Job 32 verse 8 means? There is a spirit in man. That word spirit means a breath. It means a wind. It means a spirit from heaven breathing. You know what else it means, brother? It means a warlike energy. And I'm going to take about 5-10 minutes here and I'm going to close. But we're fixing to declare war. I said we're fixing to declare war right here, right now. It is a war-like energy that is coming into the believer. Now, do you realize the prophet said we are in the battle for truth? When all the lost ends of the Bible will be restored in the great battle of truth, do you realize how many has ever been sitting around and somebody said something negative about the message around you? You ever heard them? Or they said something negative about the prophet or the Lord or something. You didn't know how to explain it, but something rose up in you. Or Andy, something just rose up in you. And you couldn't hold your peace. You couldn't just say, well, that's okay. Brother, there was a warlike energy. Oh, God. I wondered for a long time, Brother Doug, why I've set meetings and heard guys preach things and down Brother Branham in this message, and I couldn't leave there rejoicing. I left there with a... Can I be honest? I left there with a warlike energy. Let me cut the head of that devil off. Not the man, the spirit on him. Come on. Amen. And brother, for a long time, brother, I couldn't understand why I felt like that. Amen. But then I realized I was a chosen soldier to battle in the end time battle under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Then I began to realize William Branham sat in a meeting one night and they were debating divine healing. Oh God. And he was hiding up in the balcony and he said, I'm not going to go down there and debate. But all of a sudden he said, I couldn't sit there no longer. Do you know what happened? There's a wind coming in the believer. And it's coming from heaven and it's producing a warlike energy to say, devil, your time is up. Oh, come on, church. I feel an inspiration right here, right now, this morning, coming in this church, wanting to find somebody that'll receive it and say, Satan, it's over. You've lied to me as long as you're going to lie to me. You've robbed me as long as you're going to rob me. Can I just be honest with you? The devil has paralyzed your vocal cords long enough.
Love it.
I needed a charge. The devil has paralyzed your vocal cords long enough. You know what this inspiration come? It come to inspire you to speak. The opening of the word released an inspiration that said, Brother Branham, where's all the promises? I was 2/3 of the way there on the map of Palestine. And I looked over the River Jordan. And there is where all the promises were. I need another one. There's where all the promises were. Are you hearing me this morning? Amen. Come on, church. It don't take a genius to realize 2/3 of the way was 2 pulls out of 3. He was standing there at the second pull, looking over in the third pull, not prospecting all the promises was there, but suspecting with an assurance that the promises were laying there. And you know what he said? He said, come on, church. Let's move forward. We'll love divine fellowship. You've been in this message long enough. You've been hearing the open of the word for years. You've had a pastor preaching the word. What are you saying, preacher? It's time to move forward. Come on, church. It's time to rise up. It's time to speak the word. It's time to move forward. The seventh seal is here. The third pull is here. Come on, church. You want to go to the message with me on it? He said the seventh seal is going to identify itself. You know what he also said? The third pull has identified itself. God. Brother John, I'm not looking for the identification of the third pull. I see it in you. Daniel, I see it in you. JJ, I see it in you. Sister Jennifer, the third pull has identified itself in you. Oh God. Brother Doug, the third pull has identified itself. Brother, the third pull has identified itself in you. Sister, the third pull has identified itself. Where is the third pull? It's in the bride. It's not coming. It's here. What was the third pull? It was the inspiration. The inspiration of the spoken word. You may think I'm crazy. Amen. But I've been battling. Amen. Amen. But I tell you this right now. Don't get nervous. The devil hit me the other night with food poison out in McDonald's in Oklahoma. Extra, extra. Don't go there. Don't go there. Brother Wendell will take you. And that devil's been battling me all morning. But you know what? I just want to testify right now. Amen. I know you may think this is crazy. But every time I fist bumped you, brother, there's a charge coming in me. There's an energy in this building. We're a body of believers. We're not laying down. We're not quitting. We're not backing up. We've been inspired to speak. Speak the word. You've been inspired to speak. Speak to the mountain. Speak to the storm. Speak to the Red Sea. Speak to that sickness. Do you feel that inspiration taking over right now? Do you feel it taking over? It's not coming. It's identified itself. Come on. You see the third pull in William Branham's voice, but this morning I'm going to put it in your voice. By the word of the Lord, I'm going to place the third pull in your voice this morning. How you going to do it, preacher? I'll tell you how I'm going to do it. What does Mark 11:23 say? Can I have a few more minutes? I'm sorry. We might as well run him back to hell where he come from. Y'all hearing me this morning? Can you give me Mark 11:23 on the board? For verily, verily, I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he has said shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Where was that wrote? In the word. What is the word? Inspired. Do you realize if you read a book that's been wrote under fear, you know what you're going to do when you read it? Become fearful. If you read a book that was wrote under, that's why you better stay away from them romance novels. Don't know where that come from, but it came free of charge. You let's just preach a minute. You read a book that was wrote by some old filthy, dirty spirit, you're going to pick that same old filthy, dirty spirit up. Because you come under, oh God, you come under the influence of what you're reading. Now, Brother Branham says he read that for years, but he never could preach on it. You know why? Because he said, I never could understand it. He said, I never preached on hell because I never could understand it. He said, but watch. He said, I got to thinking about it. Now notice this. It's in Speak to This Mountain, 1959. He says five different times. He says, now the first time, are you with me? He says, the first time he was out on the river, and it said, you're going to see a resurrection of life. And he said, there Banks Woods caught the fish, pulled the dentals out, and threw it up on the water. What did he say? Little fish, you've shot your last wad. And he threw it there. Amen. I'm not trying to make no doctor nothing. Amen. But has ever dawned on you how long that fish laid on the water? For how long? About a half an hour. Have you ever read Revelation 8:1? And there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. No doctrine, just trying to preach a little bit there, if that's okay. Amen. Amen. I'm very clear when I say something that's not something Brother Bram said, that is my thoughts on it, okay? Not establishing doctrine, but if it's okay, I want to share that. But it's laying there. You'll catch it sometime. But it's laying there, and he says, now I'm thinking on Mark 11:23, and I can't even preach on it. But all of of a sudden, he said, inspiration come over me. And I said, little fishy, I give you back your life again. And he said, the fish got up and swam down the river. He said, we left there and we went to Vermont. He said, there's where them two young couple came in the meeting, young boy and young girl, sitting on the front row, doing immoral acts, making love on the front row. And he said, now I was thinking again on Mark 11:23, and it come over me, whatever you say unto them people will be done. If you curse them, they're cursed. If you bless them, they're blessed. If you say death, they'll be packed out. He said, right there, something come over me and said, I forgive you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, right there, the Spirit of the Lord was pleased with what I said. Now, this is just free of charge. Ed Dalton told us one time, said he come out of that meeting, Brother Bram took his hat off and threw it up in the air and said, whoopee, I passed that test. Are you with me this morning? Amen, amen. But watch this. Then he leaves there and he goes to Indiana to turkey to squirrel. We're gonna go turkey hunting again. To go squirrel hunting. I'm gonna speak it right. To go squirrel hunting. Are you with me? To go squirrel hunting. And he goes up there in Indiana and he's up there squirrel hunting. And why squirrel hunting? There's no squirrels. And he said, I'm thinking on Mark 11:23. And he said, I still can't preach on it, but I'm thinking on it. And inspiration struck him and said, speak and there'll be squirrels. Come on, church. There was nothing there to work with. There was no ribs. There was no fur. There was no squirrel bones. But the same Creator that stepped out on nothing and created everything had returned in William Branham's body to claim his voice for creation power again. And he said, let there be squirrels. And there was three squirrels. He left there and went to Kentucky. And down there in Kentucky, he's preaching. And what happens? Or he goes out in the woods to hunt and he don't get no squirrels. And the Lord says, speak. And he said, right there, I stopped and I said, Lord, why are you telling me to do this? Why am I faking on this scripture when I can't even preach on it? He said, now watch. He said, then the Lord rebuked me and reminded me, William Branham, who was it that spoke through Moses? Who was it that spoke through David? Who was it that spoke through the Bible? He said, who is it speaking through you in those prayer lines? But them said, there it come to me. It's not me. It was he. It was he. He said, then speak. And he said, there come four squirrels. Do you realize seven is completion? Seven spoken word squirrels by the third pull. All right. Now can I cap this off and close? And he left the woods and comes to Charlie Cox's house. And he says, Charlie, I don't know what else to say, but while I was sitting there, I began to think up on Mark 11:23, and inspiration began to strike. I've claimed your voice to speak. And he said, all I can say, Charlie, is he's still Jehovah Jireh. The inspiration that was on Jesus was the same inspiration that fell upon Mark the scribe to write what he heard Jesus say, was the same inspiration that came over on William Branham in Vermont, on the river, in Kentucky, in Indiana, was the same inspiration that dropped on him right there. And oh God, I got to get this out. And on the other side of the wall, on the other side of the wall was a little insignificant widow woman named Hattie Wright, who was poor, but she heard what Brother Branham said. And he said, when he looked at Charlie, he said, he must be Jehovah Jireh. She said, that ain't nothing but the truth. He said, that same super anointing, that same inspiration that swept over me in the woods, swept over me there, swept over Hattie Wright. And he said, Hattie, ask what you will. Amen. And it'll be given to you. You want the healing of Edith? Ask. You want the $1 million? Ask. She said, Brother Branham, I want the salvation. I want the salvation of my two boys. The prophet of God said, amen, right there. He said, I give you those two boys. Are you all hearing me? I'm closing, but listen, the same inspiration that was on Jesus, was on Mark to write it, was on William Branham to believe it, was on Hattie Wright to speak it, fell on them two boys. That same inspiration fell on them two boys, and the devil lost his hold. Well, let me just go ahead and say it. That same inspiration is falling in this building this morning, and sickness is losing its hold. Diseases is losing its hold. Complexes. Attitudes. Bitterness. Negativity. Complaining. Murmuring. Upset. Nervousness. Anxiety. Depression. Oppression. Come on. Suicide. Pornography. Adultery. Preach. The devil's losing its hold this morning. Speak the word. You've been inspired to speak. You've been anointed to speak. What are you saying? I'm saying the third pull has been identified. It's your turn to speak. What are you saying? I'm saying it's not coming. It's here. Quit looking. Quit sitting in the services looking for the message. Rejoice. The book is open. Faith is in the church. Delivered, signed, sealed, and delivered by Jesus Christ. Can I close with you this morning and give you a challenge? What are you going to do with this message? It's been delivered to you. We was down at Brother Danny Steeman the other day, and y'all know Brother Danny. Brother Danny's a funny guy. We was down there at Danny's, we was down there, and they was having a wedding on Saturday. A wedding. Make sure I get that in there. A wedding on Saturday. And they were waiting. Sister Michelle was over at the church decorating, getting everything ready. But she had to order something off of Amazon. Now, me and Brother Danny had been out and had breakfast or lunch. We was drinking coffee and running around. We was going to go over there later. And Brother Doug's sister Michelle called Danny, and she said, Danny, I need that package from Amazon. He said, let me go by the house and see if it's there. When's it supposed to be delivered? She said, well, it's supposed to be delivered today. So we went by the house, looked, it wasn't there. We left, went and got some more coffee. We talked a little bit, come back, looked again, it wasn't there. So we left and went, you know, just run around and did some more stuff, just hanging out. We come back and we park in the driveway. And Brother Danny says, now, we'll just sit here and wait on it to come. So we sit there for about 15, 20 minutes talking, cutting up. And finally, Danny said, look, this is crazy. It's Sarasota in June and we're sitting in the truck in the heat. And there's an air-conditioned house sitting right there. Let's go inside. So we went inside and we sat down on the couch. We kicked our feet up and we got a cold water and we just sitting there drinking, you know, having a good time, fellowshipping, talking about the Lord and different things, you know, just having a good time. And every now and again, Danny get up and he'd go look out the window. It ain't there. It ain't there, you know. So we couldn't do nothing else till it was delivered. But all of a sudden, all of a sudden, we got a knock on the door. Behold, I stand at the door and we got a knock on the door and we looked out the window and Danny goes out there and he goes, it's here. It's time to go. Well, you know what I did, Brother Andy? I didn't go get another cup of coffee and I didn't ask for another soda. I didn't ask to tell another story. You know what I did? I got up, put my shoes on. I got ready. You know why? Because it was time to go. See, as long as the peace hadn't been delivered, we had nothing to do. We could be slothful. We could be careless. We could be lazy. We could miss church. We could not show up. We could come when we wanted to. We could come and sleep on the preacher and make the preacher leave thinking you could care less about what he had to say. free of charge. But when the package was delivered, the missing piece was there. It was time to go pick it up and go into action. And I close by saying this, little bride, the message is here. It's in your hands. The signifying angel has delivered it to you. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to look at it? Are you going to talk about it? Are you going to probe on it? Are you going to prospect? Is there anybody else stand up and say, I'm going to pick it up? I'm going to pick it up. Is there any preacher say, I'm going to preach it? Is there anybody say, I'm going to live it? I'm going to believe it. I'm going to manifest it. I'm going to receive this message in the same inspiration that it was delivered to me. And let our musicians come this morning. You know, the prophet of God actually terms this age different things. Harvest time, rapture time, bride time, bride age. Still okay to say that, right? Prophet said it. Well, Brother Andrew, you better be careful because, you know, people have done crazy things with it. Well, I can't help what crazy people did with it. A sane, vindicated prophet said it before a crazy person twisted it. Come on. People, they twist to communion and people don't even have communion no more, but we still have it. Yeah, right. So, because the prophet said have it. And a prophet said have it because the Bible said have it. The same inspiration was in the Bible was on a prophet that said had it. To have it is the same inspiration we come under and we have it. See, so just because somebody twisted something up, don't dismiss it. Amen. Come back to the truth of it.
Yes, sir.
Good. You know what he called this age? He called it an Abrahamic age. Yes, sir. And he says, here we are today, understanding. 1965. Here we are. This day the scripture is fulfilled, by the way. Here we are today, understanding serpent seed. In a few days, if God willing, we will understand the correctness of marriage and divorce. And all these things that God has opened, every seal, the mystery since the foundation of the world. God. And we've been in joy in the presence of his blessings. That is true. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. I'm trying to quit, but y'all still pulling, and I'm way out of time. Did you hear what a prophet said? He said, here we are today, understanding, comprehending, perceiving, believing the correctness of serpent seed. Understanding the correctness. Now this is a big one, and I'm not preaching it, but I'm going to lay something in here for a second. Understanding the correctness of marriage and divorce. You know why we got so much confusion on that subject, Brother Doug? It's because men couldn't humble themselves to what God gave a prophet not far from here up on a mountain one day. Well, Brother Brandon meant this, but no, he meant what he said. Just say what he said. Watch an inspiration come in the building. You feel that inspiration this morning? I've not read you one thing that I thought about this. I've read you what a prophet said. And there's an inspiration. Come on. There's an inspiration in this message. The third pool was just as inspired as any other pool. It was the word restored to the church. You love him this morning. Is there anybody here today can say, Lord, breathe over me with a fresh breath of inspiration? You know, in my few years of life and ministry, I've been preaching. I don't say this boastfully, but I've been preaching since I was 13. I've had a lot of different brothers tell me different things. Brother Branham meant this, Brother Branham meant that, say it this way, say it that way. You can't quote that, you can quote this, you can't quote that. That's not inspired, this is inspired. And you know what I found under that? I found a tension and a nervousness. But I just get in the presence of God and go to hearing what he said about it. And human inspiration and man's inspiration is all gone. It's just me and the Lord. See, when you hear these people screaming out in these services, don't get nervous. They're fellowshipping with the Lord. The Lord's revealing and giving them understanding. He's inspiring them to believe. Is there anybody here today could say, Lord, I want to be inspired to believe? On this Sunday morning, I know we've preached a long time and you forgive me. But I want to ask you, is there anybody could say today, Lord, renew the inspiration in my heart concerning this message? Maybe you've been carrying things for years that people said about this message, ideas, and maybe you've been carrying things for years that people told you about Brother Branham, that he meant something in a book because they was there and you can't read that book. But can I invite you this morning, not to Andrew Glover, but can I invite you into the inspiration of God? You know why the devil don't want you to get in them books is because there's inspiration laying in there. Man looked at me one time. He said, Brother Andrew, he said, you can't preach out of the church age book in my church. I said, why? He said, because Sister Vail wrote the church age book. I said, where'd you get that? He said, well, he said, go listen to it on tape. Brother Bram says, I think Sister Vail wrote it, Brother Lee. So I went and listened to it. And I said, Brother, do you not know how to detect a laugh? Brother Bram said it and he laughed. I went in that church and I preached that night. And I read a quote. I didn't say where it come from. But I said, when she recognizes who she is, she'll be an invincible army. And brother, I watched the power of God drop in that assembly, and I watched people begin to scream and shout. Come out of that meeting, Brother Andy, the brother said, where'd you read that quote from? I said, the church age book. He said, really? I said, yeah, because it's inspired. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep on backing every devil in the corner, because this message is inspired. The Holy Ghost is here. He's looking for somebody to say it. Come on, Shamgar, pick up the ox gold. It's an inspired ox gold. Let's bow our heads together this morning. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Whew. Can you just raise your hands to him this morning? Do you feel the winds of inspiration blowing through this building? Brother Andrew, have you said anything out of prejudice? No, I've said it out of the sake of the word. For the cause of the word, for the cause of truth. What are you saying this morning? I'm going to tell you this morning, you've been inspired to speak. If there's ever been a time to speak, it's now. It's now. You've been anointed for the job. What are you saying? I'm saying this morning, church, I curse that devil right now that's paralyzing your vocal cords. I curse him in the name of Jesus Christ. I command him, take his hands off of your vocal cords, off of your body, and I command your voice right now to begin to speak in the atmosphere. You say, what are you talking about? But I'm saying, it was he that said that day up there, you have no game. It was he that brought them into existence. It was he that gave the vision about the seven seals. It was he that gave power to bind the big mama snake. It was he that gave that morning and said, don't fear, the never-failing presence of Jesus Christ is with you. It was he up in Sabino Canyon that said, it's the king's sword. It was he that said, I was with Moses, so I'm with you. It was he that spoke on the Ohio River. It was he that spoke in prophecy and the vision, it shall come to pass. It was he in St. Houston Coliseum. It was he who foretold things before they happened. And it is he here this morning in love, divine fellowship, speaking to his church. Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, I curse you. I curse every power you have. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I command you to take your hands off of God's property. Take your hands off of every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every family in this building this morning. Satan, you are defeated. Now, Father, I pray the power of God would rain down out of heaven this morning. Oh, Jesus. May inspiration begin to possess these vessels. May inspiration begin to possess these young hearts. Grant it today, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. 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 It's time to speak and the devil start crying. Come on, church, why cry? Speak. It's time to reverse the roles. Right here this morning, love divine, it's time to reverse the roles. You've been crying and the devil's been speaking, but today it's a new day. It's time for you to start speaking and the devil start crying. Come on, speak the word. Amen. Speak the word in faith. Speak it in authority. Speak it under anointing. Speak that healing. Speak that miracle. Speak that deliverance. The third pull has been clearly identified in the bride of Jesus Christ by the message of the hour. It's time to speak.
God bless you.
Their heads will hold.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Glory to God.
As they walked along,
why don't you raise your hands to him this morning?
He is grown.
He's here walking with us today.
And a man appeared.
Hallelujah.
And as he drew near,
oh, yes.
He said, why are you so sad?
Glory.
Are things really that bad? They said, about this Jesus and why he came. He opened the scriptures and began to teach. The preacher of preachers, he began to preach. In the wilderness, the children had nothing there to eat, but manna from heaven fell down at their feet when they were dry and thirsty. In a foreign land, living water came forth out of a rock in the sand. When the three Hebrew children were thrown in the flames, you here today. Who's coming back to take you?